It is 8:02. Good morning. Welcome back. Matt Murphy, Valerie Vining alongside John Bird's behind the glass. Jason Lee doing a great job over in the newsroom. And then there's Slim Rob in the traffic center. We're all one big happy family, and you're a part of that. 545-9950. We'd love to hear from you on a First Amendment Freestyle Friday. It's iTunes Roulette. Let's see.
It's Good Friday. It's Good Easter Friday. Weekend.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
It's going to be great weather. I mean, come on.
I'll tell you, I couldn't ask for more.
It is gorgeous. Yeah.
I couldn't ask for more.
Nope. It's going to be a good day, no doubt about it. We're going to get it only to about 58, so it's going to be
nice.
Kind of a cool day.
Tomorrow better.
66.
Nice.
72 for Easter.
Nice.
So it's going to be a gorgeous weekend.
Valerie, I feel so good about life right now.
Do you?
I don't even have anything bad to say about John Bird. I mean, that's how good
ago.
I feel. Although I will say this.
It is a good Friday.
John, you need to stop saying, and I say this not out of, I'm not being mean.
I know, you're right.
Because
Amelia's going to get that $5 here in a minute.
Right, so we were at Siluria Brewing last night, and thank you all for coming out. What a crowd. And, you know, we were a crowd of people all, you know, separated by 18 inches or feet. I don't know. But there was a lot of people out there. And people are itching to get back out and get mm-hmm. together and socialize. And we did that last night. And thank you, all of you that came out and said hello. So Amelia was part of the crowd.
Yes.
She's 8 years old, about to be 9. Her birthday is April 10th.
Oh, it's what coming up.
How about that? Mm-hmm. April 10th.
Perfect.
Happy birthday.
She'll be 9. Yeah, early happy birthday, Amelia.
So
way to stick it to Matt last night.
Hey.
Oh, that's right. She didn't.
You know, it was a proud moment for me.
Miss Pac-Man.
It was a proud moment for me, John, because, you know, I'd been touting my Miss Pac-Man abilities.
Yeah, you have.
And look, I'm not the best Miss Pac-Man player in the world, but I played a bit of it back in my youth. And I heard over my shoulder, I was going at it, and I heard over my shoulder the voice, the beautiful tones of Valerie Vining. And she said, "Wow, Matt, you are pretty good at this."
He was.
And I'm like,
I mean, he was up to like 30,000 points in like a snap of a finger. I was like, whoa. I'm glad I didn't take that challenge. I would have got my butt whooped.
So I pinky promised Amelia. Mm-hmm. She said, "You need to be nicer to John Bird." And I pinky promised her that I would try. I would try.
With $5 on the line.
I can't make promises mm-hmm. that I can't fully keep. So I can't definitively, but I'm trying. But here's the thing. In an effort to help me try, John, would you please stop saying to women, "You go, girl."
I don't know why.
You've done it 3 times this morning.
I do it all the time. It's horrible.
He flicks his hair and says, "You go, girl."
Well, it's a little more manly than
yeah, it
that.
Is a little deeper voice than that.
You go,
and I
girl.
Think the first time he said it, obviously he's got some smaller jeans on today. No belt today.
Correction. He told me in the bathroom.
Oh, there's a. Now here comes
and
the real
he
story.
He starts talking about his pants in the bathroom, and I said, "John, you need to close your mouth, and we'll talk later. I don't need
in the men's room
to have
to
this
discuss
conversation
you
in
about
the men's
your
room.
Pants."
But then he told me, and he didn't use so many words, but this is essentially what he told me. John Bird's wearing yoga pants. That's what.
No.
You are wearing yoga pants.
No. They're like, you know,
those stretchy
little,
jeans.
Yeah, just a little stretch.
You are wearing.
A little stretch.
Yoga pants.
No, I'm not
You're wearing,
yoga
stretchy pants.
No.
And I didn't even know.
This is when I know John Bird's not telling the truth. The voice is way too high. That's when I know he's not
and,
telling
and,
the
and
truth.
And here's the odd thing. He's wearing yoga pants, and based on a conversation we had yesterday, I didn't even know he was Hindu, but apparently he's Hindu. John Bird has lost weight and changed his religion.
Yes. He's gone the way of the Hindus with yoga. I got to check out these pants you have on, John Bird.
He's like, "Oh, they're stretchy.
They're stretchy jeans.
You go, girl."
You know, you got to go get some real, you know, some Levi's or some Lee's.
I know. This was back in a time when I thought I might be able to squeeze into them if they stretched far enough. So. That was my logic back in the day.
That's not how this works.
John, if you want to feel better about yourself,
okay,
I've got the solution. Okay. Go to Sam's Club. I know what you're doing, Sam's Club.
Don't do it, Sam's Club.
I know what you're doing, Sam's Club.
Uh-oh. Just put a little stretch in.
I know
the
what you're doing. No, those 36s aren't really 36s, Sam's Club. You know they aren't. They are 38s. It is that 36 on there is a lie from the pit of hell. Sam's Club, like, you know, they
take you down.
They're smart. Psychologically, they want to make you feel a little better about yourself. Those 36s aren't 36s.
Let me
those
tell you
are 38s
what.
And you know it.
Women's clothing has been doing this for years. For years. You're like, oh, I look so good in these sixes. And they're really like tens, you know? You're like, what the heck?
I know.
How did I get into a six? Wow, I'm looking really good. Let me have three pairs of these because they look so good. Sale, sale, sale. Bing, 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 bing. There goes the cash register some more.
You come in here with those sixes and John Bird will be like, you go, girl.
No, it'll be, you go, girl.
John Bird's wearing yoga pants.
No, I'm not. Yeah. No,
listen,
I'm not.
It might be time. It might be time to step up the game a little bit and get rid of the stretch. You need some man pants.
It's my first day wearing them.
You need some real man jeans. You're right. John Bird. We're going to fix that.
I'm going to start the list of the real man things you need.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be long.
I might be a while.
Man.
That's a joke,
it's
Amelia.
A joke, yes.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
John, I'm kidding.
We say
yeah,
it in
he
love.
Is. He
we
is.
Say, we're saying
kidding.
It in love.
Yeah.
I'm picking on John because he's whipping our ass in the weight loss challenge. That's what I'm doing.
We're about to have to come up with a big meal.
Destroying the competition.
Yes.
I mean, my goodness.
What are you down now? Can you tell the class, John Bird?
Yes, I'm down to 220.
No, I don't mean the weight, but the amount of pounds.
Oh. Okay, are you ready for
yeah,
this?
I'm ready.
Y'all ready for this?
Go.
Okay, I'm down 36.6.
Wow. What is your weight?
222.4.
Oh my God, John Bird and I weigh like the same thing. I gotta get going.
Not for long, buddy. Not for long.
I gotta get moving. And you know what? Easter is not going to be kind.
No,
there's a honey baked ham in my future.
We're gonna have to have a little.
Jesus tells me that I get to eat potato salad this weekend.
I don't know. Maybe a deviled egg.
No, I have
maybe
it a good
half a deviled egg.
I have it on good. Oh, the deviled eggs.
My weakness.
Watch it. Jesus says stay away from the desserts. You don't really need that.
But
the real food, yeah.
It's not true. Jesus.
If he was here, he'd be like,
Jesus.
All of y'all are just gluttons. Y'all, everybody needs to tone this down.
Jesus loves.
Have a little red wine.
Jesus
and have
loves
a,
me. This
have,
I know.
Have a half an egg.
And he loves carrot cake.
He does. Hey, how about Stephanie Walker? Did you see what Stephanie Walker has? I'm like, oh my gosh, at WVTM 13.
I don't know that I
was like, I need a little of this in my life. Chocolate pudding peeps.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, where do you get chocolate pudding peeps? I need some chocolate pudding peeps in my life.
Okay, chocolate pudding peeps, that's not doing much for me.
No?
Mm-mm.
It does more than those other yellow things that taste horrible.
I mean, it's just, is chocolate pudding flavor?
Well, I'll take it. I guess so.
Peeps
chocolate
are just
pudding marshmallow peeps. She's got a bag of them. And I was like, I need that in my life.
Aren't peeps just, it's just like a
marshmallow.
It's just a bag of sugar with makeup on. You know? I mean, that's all it is. Sugar, right?
I saw a lady the other day. This popped up on social media. She made a dress out of peeps. She had a full dress. Like, it looked like an Easter dress, but it was made out of real peeps.
Was her name Lady Gaga?
It was not, but it should have been.
Remember the meat dress?
I do remember the meat dress.
Delicious.
Wasting all that good, delicious meat.
Or peeps.
Or, well.
For that matter. Chocolate pudding.
Chocolate pudding peeps. Yeah, I'm jealous, Stephanie Walker.
All right, so COVID-19, the tax increases by Joe Biden. We're talking about this morning. Those are the serious items in the news. It is a First Amendment Freestyle Friday as well. It is Good Friday. It is Easter weekend. Let's go to True Blue, who is in Hale County. Hello, TB.
Good morning. How you doing, Ms. Matt, Ms. Vine?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to discuss what a modern road was nowadays.
Modern road.
the modern road. They all go downhill. And at the top of the hill, they have a charging unit for these battery-powered cars.
Uh-huh.
That way, you know, you're either getting really good gas mileage going downhill, or, you know, you can kind of float that little ferry car on down the road. So.
That's pretty good.
Hey, did you, I don't know if you were listening. I think it was day before yesterday. I had to look it up. I think it was Leland talking about the electric car charging station that was being run by a diesel generator because the power was out.
Yes, I heard that.
And that's how it goes.
Hey, I need some more diesel fuel for the generator so we can
run this electric
charging station.
Yep, that's the way it goes. Now you did hear about Joe Biden's dog, right? Biting somebody else again?
Yes.
Twice, and then there was a report that there was poop in the White House, and everyone wanted to blame one of the dogs. And I'm wondering, what about? I mean,
Matt,
Joe could have done it.
They could.
You never know.
Went down them old fashioned pants he wears.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm retired law enforcement, and I was a canine handler for a little while, and I had a cousin of mine that was also. And we saw some pictures of the dog a little later on, you know, just shortly after they announced it. And we really believe that it either bit Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. The reason for that, it was about 2 hours later, they showed a video of the dog licking its butt trying to get the taste out of his mouth.
Ah, see what he did there? See what he did? True blue.
We need a choo-choo.
We need to have, I know that police departments are hesitant, but you have to kind of talk them into it. But you and I need to have a canine unit from a local department
I can make that happen probably in 30 minutes.
I am fascinated mm-hmm. with the relationship between the human officer and the canine officer
mm-hmm.
and their partnership.
Mm-hmm.
I did this years ago in Montgomery with the Montgomery Police Department, and it was fascinating. We had a sergeant in with us, and we had a police officer, Montgomery PD, and the canine unit. The canine unit's name was Rusty. And we talked about the training protocols and the training process and the things that Rusty does to help protect his fellow officer. And I was like, you know, I wanted a little bit of a demonstration. And so the sergeant said, okay, here's what I want you to do. And he goes, you'll be fine. You know, because Rusty's just sitting between the two officers very attentively. And he said, I want you to stand up. We did this in Montgomery. He said, I want you to stand up. And he said, I want you to kind of go toward, and I forget the officer's name. Can I just call him Officer Smith?
Yeah.
Go toward Officer Smith and move your hand in kind of a descending motion like you're going to hit him on the head. Just kind of go toward him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, but, you know, stand up and do it. And I said, are you sure about that? You know, and he said, yeah, you'll be fine. And I stood up and I did it. And Rusty,
mm-hmm.
I did not, Rusty, before I knew what Rusty had done, Rusty had jumped on the counter.
Oh.
And was in my face.
Oh.
And was not happy with me.
Oh.
Well,
was it just the stand up or the fact or just the way you were moving or were you headed toward him?
The stand up and the motion toward the officer.
Oh, Lord. I'd be like, can I?
And I didn't say.
Surprised I didn't have you sign a waiver.
And I didn't say it at the time, but I peed a little. I mean, I'm just, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Woo! Those dogs are mean. Mm. I mean, they're good. They're great.
They serve a wonderful purpose.
Well, and the reason that, I mean, at least with the Montgomery Police Department, I had to talk them into it because they're, you know, they look, these are working animals. Mm. And when we get, they said, you know, just when you get in enclosed places with a lot of people, sometimes they want to believe that the dog is just a pet. And it's not a pet.
That way.
And it's one of the reasons that oftentimes when canine units retire, they retire with the handler that they've been working with for years because of that relationship, that bond.
Because it doesn't, And even in their older years, they still need to be with that handler. Hmm. Yeah, it is fascinating, that relationship.
Yeah, we need to do that one of these
Yeah.
days. 17 after the hour, we will continue with David. You can call as well, 545-9950, having fun on a Friday, also talking some more serious matters like the fact that they're trying to take all your money, folks. Joe Biden just wants all your money. That's all. What's all your money amongst friends? While you still have it, go spend some at West Blunt Lawn Care. You know, they can service that lawnmower. If you tried to crank it and it wouldn't, you know, there's a way to winterize your lawnmower that they can talk to you about at West Blunt Lawn Care, an authorized Husqvarna dealer. And if it's time to buy a new lawnmower or a new leaf blower or a new weed eater or a new chainsaw, what about a Husqvarna? You will not get better quality than Husqvarna for your lawn, and you will not find better people and better price than at West Blunt Lawn Care. An authorized Husqvarna dealer right on 284. It's I-65, exit 284. That's Corner Hayden exit. Take a right. You'll see them right beside the Papa John's. It's West Blunt Lawn Care. Jason Lee horning in there, trying to get the news in early.
Trying to get that weekend underway.
Yeah, calm down,
Slow
Jason.
Slow down. Woo,
Simmer Nelly. Down. Like that's 4 or 5 minutes before the news.
That's
Come
right.
on now.
Hang on. We'll get to it.
I like it, though. Excited. Exuberant. Yes. Wants to get you the headlines that you need to know.
He's doing a good job today. Way to go, Jason Lee. Thank you for filling in for Stacy today. We appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this this movie, the Johnny Cash film? Joaquin Phoenix?
I don't know that I ever saw
Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah. I think I may have seen parts of it.
Really, really good job.
Excellent job.
Especially Joaquin. Man.
Yeah, but Reese got the Academy Award.
Did she?
Yeah, and Joaquin didn't. He was nominated.
Isn't
I
that
kind of
odd?
It.
That's odd.
Yeah.
Johnny.
Don't know how I'm going to Jackson. 8:22. David's coming up next. You could be after David. 545-9950. Open phone lines. 545-9950. We'd love to hear from you on a First Amendment Freestyle Friday, talking tax increases by the Biden administration, the biggest proposal since Bill Clinton in 1993. I do not believe that Americans will fall for the ruse that this is an infrastructure package, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I challenge you. Look, I understand that there are projects that need to be done, but money is not the impediment to getting these projects done. There are impediments, environmental issues and studies, and I mean, just decades it takes. The Northern Beltline?
Yes.
I mean, we are told that we will die. The Northern Beltline is supposedly being worked on.
Yeah.
And we will die before it gets finished.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's not because the construction companies don't know how to build roads anymore. You have to have environmental impact studies. And is this going through a minority, like the previous caller said,
yes.
Is this going through a minority neighborhood? And if it's going through a minority neighborhood, we can't have it go through a minority neighborhood. That's what happened. You know, the road.
The 459. The reason. Right?
Well, 2059. The reason that they had to do what they did with 2059 a couple of years ago. You know, if you look at the map, when 2059 goes through Birmingham, you're going along and then it dips. And then it goes along for a while, and then it dips back up, and it goes, and it continues. And as you look at the map, you might say, well, why did it do that? Why does it dip like that? Why not just a continuous, why not a straight shot? Or why not kind of arc it
around
north?
Yes,
they can't
north of the city, and you can't do it.
Because it's a minority neighborhood,
right.
And you can't do it. They wanted to do that, as opposed to shutting the interstate down. They said, well, let's just reroute, build that, and then we'll move it over. Nope.
Can't do that.
Norwood.
And that was part of the reason that it happened as fast as it did, was because they weren't going to be able to reroute it. And they said, well, we can't shut this down for like 3 to 5 years. Once we pull that interstate down, we got to get it back up fast.
We got to move. And the construction companies did a great job.
Yes, they did.
The inefficient factor here is not business. It's government.
No.
It's government. 545-9950-824. It is time for news, and we'll get to David, and we'll get to your calls as well. We'd love to hear from you. As we continue, Valerie Vining and Matt Murphy. It's Matt and Val on Talk 99.5. Hang in there. Here comes the headlines. Much too leisurely.
I was busy doing something close to nothing. on the day before.
That's what I saw.
Ooh!
I saw her. She looked in from the outdoor.
If I've said it once, I've said it a thousand times. Little Red Corvette ain't about a car.
Don't ruin it for everyone.
I'm not. I don't
There's
think
innocent
I'm,
ears.
I don't think I'm ruining
There's
it.
There's a few out there.
I know.
Now they're
know.
Like, huh? What? He? Ah. Oh.
How good was Prince?
Really good.
How good was
I
Prince?
I mean, really. Woo. Gah. An interesting...
Interesting cat.
Yes,
interesting cat, man. But
and there's a lot of but
what
the,
a great
the
songwriter.
Talent from him was extraordinary.
Great songwriter, such a good songwriter. He's still got songs that haven't been released.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Apparently, it's like you could almost put out a whole new album with some really good stuff on
he,
it.
He wrote so many good songs. He wrote so well. He would write songs and say, "Well, you know what? This song isn't for me. I sing the song." But this song would be better sung by a female. So I'll just give Nothing Compares to You to Sinead O'Connor and Let It Go.
How about that?
How about
that? That was a big hit for her.
Manic Monday, Prince. Mm.
I didn't realize Manic Monday was Prince. Mm-hmm. That's cool. All right, 545-9950. I promise, David, tell John, and I know he's on the line, that right. I gotta scoot to David real quick, and then I'll get right to John.
Got it.
David, what's up, man?
Hi, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good
morning.
I was just out here listening to you guys. I'm on a surveillance, so I've been listening all week to all you guys. And it occurred to me, after your little segment on the difficulty in perceiving the difference between vaccination and vacation, that we throw all these numbers around, billions and trillions. I mean, it's just that easy to not perceive what we're talking about. So I want to throw a real quick visual image. Our currency in the U.S. Has a thickness of 4.3 thousandths of an inch. That means if you stack up 10,000 $100 bills, you got a stack of $1 million, which is 43 inches tall. That's it. So a three and a
million. All right, let's. We're going to walk slowly. $1 million would be 43 inches tall. So just. Just shy of 4 feet.
Over. Say 3.5 feet.
Yeah.
So, if you translate that on forward to $1 billion of $100 bills is 10 stacks, 36 stories high.
10 stacks.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
So that's just a slight difference. And when we start throwing around trillion, that's 10,000 stacks, 36 stories high.
And a story's 10 feet, so that's 360 feet.
Mm. Yes, sir. Actually, 358. But anyway, I just... was musing over that and thought I would share it.
Well, I'm glad you did. David, and you'll know what I'm talking about. At some point during my radio career in the last 21 years, Valerie's yours too, we used to talk about millions like it was a lot of money. Now we talk about billions.
A lot of money.
And when we talked about millions and we'd say, somebody's proposing $1 billion, and they're like, whoa, $1 billion. Now people talk about $1 billion like it's not a lot of money.
Amen. And that's people can relate to a million a lot more now. So that's why I use that number. But, I've used that to a couple of guys and they look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. And
there's a great, I would go online. There is a great explainer online. That's a visual. That's really, really good doing the same thing that we're doing. And you did a great job on the audio level, David, but I encourage you to go online and just type into Google, you know, the difference between a million, a billion, and a trillion. And it is like a little PowerPoint presentation, and it starts with a guy with a $100 bill in his hand, and then it goes from there. And, you know, got a $100 bill in his hand. Now he has $10,000 in his hand. Here's $1 million sitting in front of him in a suitcase. And then it goes, and it is amazing.
it was a tie-in, goes back to, you know, you see 16 posts on vaccination. So when you throw this one in with all those key buzzwords, everybody reads vacation and perceives vaccination.
That's right.
So
that's right.
And so they bombard us with all of these stories, images, controversies about dollars, and we're just numbed to the fact.
Well, and there's precious little conversation, and we need to get back to it. And David, I got to run. I appreciate the call, friend. Thank you. Precious little conversation about conserving money, saving. Yeah,
when was the last time that we heard that?
In government.
Yeah.
And we'll talk with John Wall about that. He is the brand new head of the Alabama GOP, and he joins us on the Matt and Val hotline. John, good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to be on the show.
Well, it's good to have you. You know, we've always enjoyed the conversation with your predecessor, Terry Lathan, and it's my understanding you were newly elected as the head of the Alabama GOP in February. Is that right?
That is correct. End of February. Been right about a month.
How's it been?
Overworked and underpaid.
Well, isn't that the way?
You kind of knew that going into it, huh?
No, seriously, it has been a tremendous honor to represent the Republicans of the state of Alabama, and I'm enjoying it more than I imagined I would.
Well, don't break it, John. I mean, you know, how does that feel? Like you feel like you get the keys to the car, and now it's like keep driving this car, go a little bit faster, do things a little bit better, maybe find a better route to here, there, or everywhere, but don't let the car break down on the side of the road. That's kind of your job, right?
Just about. You know, I'm very blessed to have inherited a good foundation. The state party is in a good position, and that really allows me, though, to also grow. You know, I think when you inherited something that's in a good shape, it allows you to be able to really laser in on new areas and target some areas that maybe have not been worked in before. So I'm excited. I've got a lot of potential, a lot of possibilities out there.
And let me ask you this, your background, maybe a lot of people don't know, John, you know, what you did prior to getting this position. For those that are unfamiliar with you, maybe just give us a little of your history and what you've done in the past.
Yeah, so I am a small businessman. I actually am a classically trained leptozoologist.
Whoa.
Wait. You got to back that up. What?
Can you say that on the radio, John? I don't know. I don't know. What is a leptobiologist?
A leptozoologist.
Zoologist.
Does that have to do with butterflies or something like that?
You're dead right. You're
Valerie!
Whoever gotten that correct. Yes.
Way to go.
I am, to put it in the layman's terms, I am a butterfly farmer.
Ah.
You're a butterfly.
I've never met a butterfly farmer. You're the first.
You farm butterflies? What, you eat them?
I do. So you, and you know, there's not a lot of us out there. We're an endangered species. Believe it or not, but there is actually an industry. And I'm actually on the board of directors for the International Butterfly Breeders Association.
Well, how about that?
So, yeah, it's kind of a...
I got to tell you, John, this conversation is already more interesting than I thought it would be. No offense to the Republican Party.
Hey, no worries. I always like to talk about butterflies. But no, it's a fun industry. There's not a lot of us, but most of my work is with zoos and botanical gardens.
Hmm. What is the purpose of farming butterflies?
So there's really two main markets with butterflies. One is for releases for like weddings and funerals, and the other is for exhibits. That's where I specialize in supplying zoos, botanical gardens, and butterfly exhibits across the country, where basically people can come in and tour through a greenhouse-type situation with the butterflies.
All right, I don't mean to... Go ahead.
No, you're good. No, I was just saying that's where I specialize.
Okay, so when you say butterfly farming, this is what comes to my mind. John is in a room. He's got a girl butterfly and a boy butterfly. He turns the lights down low. He puts on some soft music, maybe a little food, a little romance. Right? Yeah, I mean, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, no, you're overthinking this. I always tell people, you would think it would be a little different, but actually this is much more similar to normal farming than you would think. So I have greenhouse frames set up. I've got about 18 frames total. Most of them are screen covered instead of plastic. And the butterflies are in those screen enclosures and really just do their thing. I have all the host plants. You know, I know what I'm doing. I've got a greenhouse. I've got a grow lab. I've got everything organized. And but in general, it's closer to normal farming than you would think.
It's similar to, and I bet if you've, many people have been through it, up in Tennessee, there is some type of zoo or whatever it is that you walk through, and you can actually go through the butterfly exhibit, and they're in that type of enclosure that you're talking about with the screens, and you're able to observe them and be around
them. You're just
them.
Around them.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is. And I always tell people I had the ugliest and the most beautiful part of life because I'm in politics and butterflies.
It reminds me of what I said about years ago when I first went to Washington, D.C., and I had been a talk show host for about 10 years. I went to D.C. fairly late in life. I've been there many times since. I said, Washington, D.C., it's a place that I'm absolutely captivated by Washington, D.C., and I also want to puke.
You know, I have the exact same feeling. In fact, I'm about to head up there in about a week, and every time I'm there, there's a sense of awe. You know, when you're going around the Capitol Mall, just the city, the history, and it's gorgeous. And at the same time, you're like, I am literally in the swamp. So
right.
I identify with your feelings.
Well, Washington, D.C., I've long said this, John. You and I don't know each other very well. We just met today on phone. But Washington, D.C. has three of my favorite things in it. It has history, monuments, and a-holes. not necessarily in that order. All of them.
I'll agree with two out of three.
And we'll leave it to the audience to figure out which one. All right, I want to talk about the butterfly thing just one more second, and we'll get to Republicans. Okay,
it is pretty fascinating.
I've got
lots of questions.
So, you know, pandas are typically looked at as very, very difficult to breed in captivity because they're just not very amorous. The way you're describing this is that butterflies, that it seems to me that they it doesn't take much urging to get them to make. How do butterflies mate is what I'm asking you.
I don't even have any issues with that because in general they do their thing. So put them into the greenhouses. I have their host plant there. Pretty much every butterfly has a specific host plant that they will only lay their eggs on that host plant. So I have those host plants potted, and I'll put that in there. And I just let them lay their eggs, and then come back and collect them and then raise them from there.
So is it a matter of the female butterfly lays the eggs and the male butterfly has to fertilize them, or does he do that on the front end?
No, on the front end.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Yep.
Cool. Mm. Good.
We're learning a lot here today.
I can already tell you need a little more education. You need to come up here and tour the butterfly farm.
I do. No,
we do. We need to
absolutely.
Come see that.
We're on. There's
tell
no doubt.
Tell us when, and we would love to see it.
I would walk over a bed of Legos to get to that butterfly farm. Uh-huh. I know something you don't know, Valerie. Mm. I know something you don't know. John, talk to me. Tell everybody.
I figured you knew something, the fact you brought that up.
Uh-huh.
I just got approved by Guinness. Actually, almost a year. It took them almost a year to approve it. But I just got confirmed as the world record holder for the furthest distance walking on Legos barefoot.
Oh, my goodness, John.
All right,
my goodness.
Everybody know, anybody with kids, let's just back this up and set it up.
And this is barefoot, right?
Anyone with children understands. You get up in the middle of the night, you got to go to the bathroom or whatever, and you step on a Lego, and is there anything worse? And John voluntarily walked 27,411 feet and 5 inches on Legos.
A little over 5 miles.
Oh, my goodness. How are your feet? That's what I want to know.
That's a good question.
Well, they're, it's been a year. They're actually getting back to normal.
Wow.
What led you to this world record? I mean, one, was there a world record holder before you?
There was. In fact, it's a little bit competitive. There were several different people kind of jockeying back and forth. When I attempted it, the current record was about 3 miles. So I happened to see it on a video program, and I was like, when I saw that, I've always liked to push myself to the limits, and I just, by nature, I'm a very competitive person, And so when I saw that, I was like, that is a world record that I could hold. You know, a lot of just grit, toughness, and determination to get that record. So when I saw that, I was like, I can do that, started the process, and yeah, just enjoyed it the whole way. I always wanted to be in the Guinness Book of World Records, so now I'm there.
So, John, how did you set this up? I mean, if you had to go that distance, how did that work? Did you have like a half-mile track set up and you kept going around it, or how did that work?
Yes, so it was a track. It was actually a square track. It was a little shorter than a half mile. It was a 200-foot track total. So I forget how many laps that was, but it was over 100 laps.
And you did this all in one day?
Yeah, you have to do it consecutively. And
I gotcha. Gotcha.
So you had to have a Guinness witness there, I would imagine.
Yes, actually two. It's a fairly complicated process. They do a good job of really ensuring that you set a record. I actually think correlations can be drawn here to why it's important to always be able to observe and secure elections.
I like that pivot there. That's good.
Yeah. But no, it's very important, again, as you know, that anyone who attempts a record actually fulfills that record, actually does the attempt. So I had two Guinness witnesses. I had a medical professional and then a professional surveyor to make sure the distance was correct.
All right, John, hold on, because I want to talk to you about this further. And I know many of our Republican friends who are members of the Republican Party on the executive steering committee or whatever is like, would you please talk to John about
politics in Alabama?
and to you, I say, yeah. No, we're going to talk butterfly porn and Legos. 545-9950, it's 48 after the hour. I do need to remind you about what is coming up. I'm very excited about what's coming up, and it's coming up very soon, and you need to get your tickets, because while we are out of doors at Barber Motorsports for the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama, it is going to be a relatively limited amount of tickets, so you need to get your tickets ASAP. It's quite easy, friends. All you have to do is listen up, and I'll tell you all about it. It's coming. It's just a few weeks away, as a matter of fact. The Bruno event team welcomes the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama, presented by AmFirst. It is coming April 16th through the 18th. 16th through the 18th. It's the first race of the IndyCar schedule. It features a phenomenal group of drivers, a field to include Jimmy Johnson, who you heard from several days ago on Matt and Val on Talk 99.5. Limited daily tickets are available. They're selling fast. Purchase yours today at barberracingevents.com. That's barberracingevents.com. It is Talk 99.5. We're getting to know John Wall, the brand new chairman of the Alabama GOP, taking over for Terry Lathan, good friend of the show. I don't know, but Terry's got to go a long way to be as interesting as John. He's a butterfly man, and he's set a Guinness Book of World Records, a record for the longest walk on Legos. John, I tell you, we've got like 3 minutes. We'll have you in, and we'll talk all things Alabama GOP next time, because I know what we're going to do. We're going to talk Legos but this is good, because we get to know you, and we appreciate what you do for the state of Alabama. So the question is, did you have to call in medical attention on the Lego walk? 5 miles on Legos. Any cuts? Any blood?
There were a few. I think the guy called them abrasions on the bottom of my feet. But really, I have tough feet. I'll be honest. I'm 6'4". I've got big feet. So I tried to just spread out the weight, keep my feet flat, and really, it wasn't as bad as you might think it was.
I'm looking at a picture, John. You have a look of
determination.
Fierce determination, yeah. on your face.
Here's the question I have for John. Did you have to do anything to prepare for that? In other words, did you try to callus up your feet a little bit, like walking barefoot outside on the hot pavement or something? I mean, what was the preparation going into it? Anything?
Yeah, you know there was quite a bit of preparation, just making sure that my feet were, you know, a lot of going barefoot. That really works well. I actually like to go barefoot whenever possible. So, but yes, no, quite a bit of preparation and just making sure my feet were pretty calloused and ready for it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wow. It seems the biggest question asked of you, I'm looking online here, do you have to supply your own Legos?
You do. That is a question, and that is true, and Legos are not cheap.
Wow. So you had to buy the and that's a lot of
donated.
Legos.
Yeah, I hope some people donated around the neighborhood.
Are they standard? I mean, did the Guinness people make you do like standard size Legos, or just a general, just a big old box of Legos? Because Legos are not cheap. You're right, Valerie.
Yeah, they're not.
Right. Yeah, no, and yeah, just standard. It has to be a Lego brand, and I believe I had somewhere a little over 500 pounds of Legos total.
And knowing you like I do, because we know each other, we go way back, John, about 20 minutes. Did you then donate the Legos?
No, I still have them.
Oh, you have them.
He might have to. He might have to do it again.
Well, that's true. You might have to break your own record.
I may have to defend my record. And I just have.
Well, you're smart. Right. Yeah, see, you're smart. You got a little padding. You got the two mile padding there. John, we're going to talk about the Republican Party the next time you're on. Okay.
All right. Hey,
I promise,
pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Hey, that's John Wall. Man, oh man,
that's fascinating.
Legos and butterflies, baby. Nowhere else.